For you are good.
Lift your hands up and just worship him in that place. Everywhere, lift your hands up and just worship.
And worthy to be praised.
I cannot hear you.
Upon the throne, and unto you we lift our voice in praise. You are the Lamb upon the throne.
Father, we thank you. We ask that you will speak to us by your Spirit one more time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may take your seats. Okay, we have about 30 minutes to close. So I'm going to try and make good use of the time. What have we learned so far? We've learned what the definition of mastery is. What do we say mastery is? Number one is what? Say it fast so that we can make progress. Number one is what? Mastery is what? All together, ready, go. Mastery is attainment, exceptional skill, or dominance in various fields. Amen. Amen. And in this world, we recognize mastery by creating award programs. You know, nobody gives awards to people who are trying. Somebody says, I'm trying my best. Be there. Nobody, there is Emmys, there is Grammys, Emmys, eh? The one they give to footballers, what is it? Is there a name? Ballon d'Or. Ballon, what is the measure for Ballon? Ballon d'Or. Ballon d'Or in French means the golden ball. Yeah, so, and Ballon d'Or is given to what? Is it for football season? Like, do they take the leagues and things all in addition? Plus World Cup and everything. So, like, the players overall scores in the whole year, like the whole football season, your team scores, the goals you scored at the league, even the country. So, like, if your team played Premier League and then they played FA Cup and you play some, the goals you scored at the Premier League, the goals you scored at the FA Cup, then any other whatever, Champions League, then World Cup. I'm trying my best. There is no award. I have not heard of any award ceremony that the people organize and they do prize and they are awarding people. Okay, so let's welcome from Ghana the following people try their best. From Ghana, put your hands together for Akwesi Mensah. Huh? Even this VGMA that they do over here, it can become a quarrel. Yeah. All I'm saying is not, it's true or it's not true. VGMA, it can become a quarrel. I heard some guy be, the person they nominated was supposed to win, they didn't do something, they disqualified the person there, and another guy be that nobody was expecting won. What is the guy's name? So mastery is... You see, my message is one. The message I can summarize all right now in one sentence. We can close and go home. We will not come for the conference tomorrow. We will not come on Saturday. Do you want the summary? This is the summary of the message I'm preaching. If you are a born-again Christian, you are a son. If you are a son, you must strive for masteries. If you strive for masteries, you must strive lawfully. Full stop. Can we go home? Can we go home now? You can go home. Isn't this your one? This pastor, he has talked. The message I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching it from today till Saturday. If you are a born again Christian, you are a son. If you are a son, you must strive for masteries by force. If you strive for masteries, there is only one way to strive for masteries. There is no in the way God has done it, the way it is. The only way to strive for masteries is to play it according to the rules. Remember, God has given us the rules. See that, like if you are going to, and you see some of the things I'm about to say, he has already said it. I'll say it again. Come here, I like talking. So mastery, that's what I'm taking my time to explain to you in case you are confused. There's nothing that you are doing that God has called you to do, God has ordained for you to do. There is nothing that you cannot do it at a level where we call it an attainment of exceptional. I feel that I'll not be able to finish preaching what I'm preaching even by Saturday. Because I have stories I want to tell you. I like talking plenty, so like that's why I will not get time. I have stories I want to tell. Because if you look, I was telling a friend of mine 2 days ago, 3 days ago, because I was reading about Elisha. And I said, I sent my friend a text. I said, Reverend Bismarck, I think that we have not given Elisha as much attention as we have given Elijah. Reverend Bismarck, from the time, are you interested in what I'm saying? Hey, those of you are doing club meeting. Is it a club meeting? Sister, turn around. Many have been that make came one on to on our. Somebody said, Reverend Ike says that don't think we are unemployed though. Like we don't have work. That's why we are here. Thursday afternoon. We have work. Don't you have work? I know the manager. Hey, the manager is sitting down here. We're not unemployed. Listen to what I'm telling you. From the time the chariots came and separated Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven in the whirlwind, and Elisha took Elijah's dress, mantle, like I said, it's like an outer coat. If you are feeling cold, know how you wear a dress and you wear and something on top. When Elisha took it and reached the Jordan, and then it's like the river was there, it's like, Charlie, let me test this thing that I have now acquired. Because if you have the Infinity Stones, you must test it. How do you think? What do you think? If you have the stones, how many of you have what? Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings, how many of you? Oh, it's grown up people. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's a grown up people's movie. I'm sorry. I'm forget. But if you want to be like an educated person, either read the book or watch the movies. Okay. I've told you. You don't say that I didn't tell you. Read the books or the movie. There are 3 of them. Each one is 3 hours. You'll be watching it, you fall asleep. Then you continue tomorrow. Then you fall asleep. You fall asleep before the movie finishes. 3 hours times 3, 9 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of. Why am I telling you the thing? In order of the rings, there's a ring. There is a ring. Are you listening to my story? Everything I'm preaching is important, though. Everything I'm saying is important. There's a ring in the story. It's a story. And I think that story has something to do with Christianity. But it's only when you watch it deeply you understand that it's something about Christianity. It's a certain Christian type of behavior. There's a ring. The ring was made by an evil spirit. And that ring that he made, anybody who wears the ring, the person has power to command evil armies. Like armies. Some long time ago, somebody managed to cut his hand. Am I saying the story well? Because once the ring was on his hand, he was destroying the world, fighting wars with people and killing people. So one day in a battle, some guy was brave enough to cut the guy's hand. And then the ring fell and they took it. And then they took the ring. They should have gone to destroy. They gave the ring to somebody. The person should go and destroy it. In a fire, the fire that was used to make the ring. But he didn't destroy it. They didn't know that the ring was somewhere. And the ring, they see what I'm telling you? When you are holding the ring, the ring will be... The ring has a temptation about it. Because one of the things it has is that when you wear it, you become invisible. You can see everybody, but they cannot see you. How many like that power? It's a very nice power. You can see everybody, but they cannot... You'll be here. You just can't say... You just slap us above. Slap. Hey. You cannot see where you are. Yeah, you're just hiding in the system. So anybody who gets hold of the ring As you are holding it, the ring wants you to wear it because the power that it has. Because if the thing is there, you want to try it. Elisha said, "This is water. This is the dress. The same. This thing when we got here, he made the water. He used the same dress to hit the water and he divided. I have the dress now. Let's test it." It divided. It's working. Reverend Bismarck, from that point onwards, action, like miracle action after. Hey, I'm wasting time. Like, I should be telling you, giving you more points. Elisha was sitting on top of a hill. One of the kings of Israel, he was sick. In fact, he was sitting down on his in his building and he fell through the window. So when he fell through the window, he got hurt. He was not sure whether he would live or he would die. So he sent a servant of his to go to a place called Ekron, and go and ask the god there. The god's name was Beelzebub. He sent a servant to go to Beelzebub and go and ask that idol Beelzebub whether I will live or I will die. I'm talking about the people in the Bible who attained to... See, sometimes I'm talking as if I'm confused. But when you hear what I'm saying, you see that I'm saying something. I'm talking about attainment of dominance. So, Elisha was in his house. Then God said, "Go and meet that guy, that servant on the way. And ask him that, is it because there is no king, there is no God in Israel? That's why the king has sent somebody to go and ask an idol somewhere whether he will live or he will die." So Elisha went and met the guy and said, "Hey, is this because there is no God in Israel? That's why you are whatever." So the guy went back to the king to go and tell him that, "When I was going, I met a guy who asked me, is it because there is no God in Israel? That's why you're going to consult an idol." Then the king asked the man you met, describe him. So he was wearing camel's hair and he had a belt. Said, "That guy is Elisha." Are you listening? He said, so he sat on when he finished, then he sent a company of 50 people. 50 like soldiers, 50 people. They should go and catch the man and bring him. Then he was sitting on the top of a hill. So when the people came, they were downstairs. He was on the hill, so after he was downstairs. They said, "Come down from there. The king wants to see you." Then he said, "Fire, burn them." So fire burned 50 people. And then they died. So somebody told the king that the people you sent, fire has burned them. The king sent another 50. When they came, the man was sitting on the hill. He said, "Fire, burn them. Fire burn 50 people." Are you following what I'm telling you? He said, "I'm telling you the story to show you. I'm showing you. You see, the Bible says that the things that are written in the Bible, they are for our examples. It means that if it is there in the Bible, somebody was able to achieve it with God. You too with God. Am I talking to myself or I'm talking to human beings in the church? So the king sent another batch of 50 people. So when the 50 people came, the guy who was leading them, he said, "You know, when he got to the mountain, he said, 'You know something? I didn't come here to quarrel. Already know, you have killed 100 people. First 50, fire burn them. Second 50, fire burn them. Me, I don't want problems. I beg you. The king is looking for you. I don't want any issues." Then God said, "Okay, go with him." Listen, are you listening to what I'm telling you? I'm saying that thing. Look, Reverend Bismarck, one by one. Then he went to the man, the rich woman who gave him a house. Then the woman didn't have a son. Then he gave a prophesied a year by this time you have a child. Then the child said, "I'm going to the farm with the father." Say, my head. The child died. The woman came to send the servant to even like Naaman, all of those. It's just one after the other like that. Amen. Okay, great. Okay. Enough talking. We are closing in 50 minutes. Yes. Next one, number two. Some people don't believe it, but God is king. Number two. Say the number two. It's not in your book already. Why are you looking on the screen? It's not in your book. Say number two and let's go. Number two. Yeah. I want people, God wants people to respect you and admire you. Look at us. Many years later, we are still mentioning Elijah's name and Elisha's name here. Why? Because there were people who had achieved mastery. Look at us. You'll be gone. You will be. I'm saying that when you are. You. No, it's okay. It's okay. Next. No, I don't know. I think that I'm like overreacting. I don't know. Number three. Yeah. Yeah. It's not your hit today, you miss tomorrow, you miss. Then you say, no, let's continue. But temptation is very strong, but let me resist it. Number four. This one, we must make a t-shirt and print it on it. Like active habitual excellence. Yeah. How many Christians here, after this conference, you are going to start to walk into some active habitual excellence? Oh, next one. Yeah. If it is 100%, we are aiming for 100%. You won't say 70 is A, 90 is also A. I'll take 70. It's not a good mind to have. So 100 is A, 90 is A, 70 is also A. Let me take 70. No. That's not a person who is striving for mastery. That's not how to think. All right, then I taught you that as a Christian, what does mastery mean to you? Number one is what? It means to be of full age. Remember? And I read to you Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, which said that for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you are needing someone to teach you again. And I told you that is when God is talking to you about mastery. When God is imagining you becoming a master, in God's eyes, one of the characteristics of the pictures of a master is a teacher. He knows he has achieved, of course, the person who has attained to a high level of excellence is one who teaches. True or not true? We assume that if you become a professor, you the same you do undergrad and BSc some topic, then you do 4 years of school. Then you do masters, maybe 2 years, maybe 1 year, or MPhil, maybe MPhil, you do 2 years. Then the same topic, you get deeper into it. Then when you finish, you do PhD, 3 years. Somebody is for 5 years, depending on what is going on in their lives. 3 years, 5 years, you do one, you're going deeper in the same whatever. Then you become a lecturer. Then you start to teach. Then you start to write public, do research. Ah! There's a professor's daughter in the church, so like she understands what I'm preaching. Uh-huh, so you do then you become a professor, the associate professor. Then you keep doing, then you become, and so when you meet somebody and introduce, this is, even in Chi, they say, obinfo, is that what it is? Like, it's like, the person, professor, bafo ansa, is in Chi, is obinfo, bafo ansa. So God is expecting that. You teach. You see, it's a level you must come to. You cannot be a Christian. You are Christian. I've been a Christian for so many years. Yes. You see what I'm doing? I was also a Christian like you one day, being preached to. That's many years ago I became a born-again Christian. But I have been teaching. I have... Don't talk plenty, because I'm trying to close. If you talk, I will not be able to close. I'm trying. I have been teaching children in the church for at least 21 years. 21 years. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Is it making sense to you? Yeah. Yeah. My church members that I had in my church, I have church members, they are missionaries. Yes, they are pastors. They have church members. They were my drama dancing stars people. They are pastors. One of my dancing stars boys is a safe pastor in Tamale. Yes, our drama when I was 21 years ago, in our J Church, the drummer who was playing drums for us, is a missionary in another country. What I'm saying is making sense to you. I was teaching them. One day, when I came from Tamale to come to Kumasi, there was a boy in this church. He was in university. I met him. Hey, Reverend Bismarck, do you know that one of the scriptures that I have come to really believe is the just shall live by faith? You see, because one day I was in church. I was the assistant safe teacher. And then that Sunday, the safe teacher, the pastor said that he was not feeling well. So he couldn't come to church. So that day, I'm in charge. So I was supposed to preach. Charlie, some verse be that I used to do quiet time, some titty. You know how sometimes you can have some verse be like, it's your revelation. Like, it's in your back pocket. You're waiting for it. Like, yeah, the day that. So I said, hey, what will I preach to these children? Because this verse that I read, no, I can explain to a grown-up. But Charlie, these JJ children, yeah. Do you know the scripture that I was coming to share? So I came to church, they finished praise and worship everything. I said, today, Reverend Leslie is not, he used to be Uncle Leslie. Uncle Leslie is not around, so he said, I should be, take care of you, I'll be here. So, take out your notebooks and your Bible. I'm going to preach to you that the title of my message is The Parable of Wheat and Tares. Hey, I came to, mean, you know, like when I finished preaching, you know, my conclusion was that I had successfully confused the children. Like I had succeeded, like confusion of children. Hey, like I passed. So I didn't, you know, I don't even want to remember. I don't know. I couldn't imagine who in the church understood the parable of the wheat and tares that I explained. Until 6 years later, I came to Kumasi here and I met a boy. He was in this church. He was in the university. Hey, when you met him, he said, hey, Uncle William. I said, hey, you are here. Say, how? Then he said, it's Uncle William. I still remember the parable of the wheat and tares. I said, no, you are not serious. No. I said, what? He said, look, he said, like all my J Church that I was in Tamale, the message I remember. That's what I'm saying, they just shall live by faith. The parable, he said, that parable of wheat and tares, it has stayed with him from that time. I've been teaching. This is I'm saying that if you become born again, God is expecting that at a point you become. So that's the meaning of mastery. I think I'm repeating myself. But a repetition is good, oh? Yeah. Number two, it means to have dominion. And dominion is the ability to command and govern effectively. Where you are, if they give you class prefect in your class, it will work. If you are a master, if you have mastery, they will say that you are the best class prefect that they have had in that school. I'm not saying it well. Hey, I have things to tell you, but I don't have time. What I'm preaching, don't be tired about it. You see, dancing stars in the church. Me, you see, some people, they come to church and they only want to be dancing stars. They don't want anything else. But what I'm preaching to you, see, I'm closing for today, but I'll continue tomorrow. And I'm going to explain to you, you see, in striving for masteries, as you are striving for me, I've only told you two, what it to be mature, to be whatever. Okay, tomorrow I'll add the third one. I can tell you the third one today so that you take it home. And then you bring it back tomorrow. How many want to take it home and bring it back tomorrow? How many want to bring it back tomorrow? I'm not going to talk about it. The third, what it means to have mastery as a Christian. It means to be filled with the Spirit of God, which leads to skillfulness. To be filled with the Spirit of God. You are tempting me to enter into it. No, I have 6 minutes. I will not be tempted. I resist the temptation. I will not be tempted. Take it home. Bring it back tomorrow. It means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Yeah. Today is a working day. I'm supposed to be at work. I'm sure if my boss comes and he passes by, he'll just wave at me like this, then he'll go. Yeah. Because many years ago, I went to go and work in that hospital. When I entered the place, I made up my mind that here, the area they have given me, I'll have mastery. Yes. You know, Pastor Bafo, I have tried to resign from that company. The boss called me into a meeting. He asked me, why are you trying to resign? I didn't resign, no. I applied for leave without pay for 1 year. But the question he asked me was, why are you trying to resign? Is it because you are going into full-time ministry? He asked me that question. Then I said, no, it's not full-time ministry. So why are you trying to resign? And I said, Doto, I got some job. And that job, I feel it will interfere with this other job. So I want to take 1 year leave, go and do that work. If it is good, then if it is not good, I'll come back. Wow. Am I preaching to you? I'm talking. He asked me, the job that you have got, that you are going to go and do it and this, you know, that job. Where is the office? Is there an office? I said, it's not an office. The work is on computer. So do you have to go to an office to go and do the work? I said, no. When me, my direct supervisor, this man, and then his administrator, four of us in a meeting. He told me. And I said, but sometimes the work, I'll have to travel somewhere, 2 or 3 days, sometimes 1 week. I don't want it to be interfering with the work. The man told me, when you are coming to work, bring your computer. Put the computer here. Okay. Do this one, then do this one. Do this one, then do this one. Then he said, if you have to travel 2 or 3 days to go and do the work, that's why I called your direct boss into the meeting so he will hear. Tell him that you are going somewhere 2 or 3 days to go and do that one, but don't resign. Just bring your computer. Do this one, then do this one. Do this one. You're not hearing what I'm telling you. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, remember this, man. That small space they gave me, I have mastered it. Look, they brought us a new machine recently. Big one. I've not seen some before. They did training. My boss said, okay, he doesn't want me to be the only one who can do the work. So he brought a lot of people to come and do training. No problem. I was standing there. We were all standing there. Did the training. I was just looking at it. This. I was just talking. Training finished. The work started. Sometimes I've not reached work. When I go to work, I'm not going to work. When I arrive, I see the boys, 2 or 3 boys are standing in front of the machine. They are saying, we have done the thing. Continue the work. You see? Even the boys at their place, they know that. When they get stuck, you can call me on the phone. Yeah, you just call me on the phone. This car. I'm telling you that if you are a born again person, you become a son. If you become a son, it is come. I'm closing. Some of you have gone home already in your spirit. You just wait small. You're 2 more minutes. It means to mature, to know the thing so much you can teach it. Saturday, I'll show you the things you must know. One of the things you must know is the doctrine of God. Maybe I don't have time, so let me be telling you small. Another one you must know is the doctrine of Christ. Another one is the doctrine of salvation. Another one is the doctrine of the church. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Yes, they all have names. You want to hear the big names? The doctrine of God is called theology. Doctrine of Christ is called Christology. Doctrine of salvation is called soteriology. Doctrine of the church is called ecclesiology. doctrine of the end times is called eschatology. Some of you are looking at me like, what is this man? You don't know. Ask your neighbor, do you know eschatology? Do you ask your neighbor, do you understand? Do you know eschatology? Yes. Do you know? Do you ask your neighbor, do you know Christology? Do you know Christology? Yes. Then, see, this church is called eschatos, right? This eschatos means end times. The last days, the end times. So the end times is eschatos. So the study of the end times is eschatology. Devin, I don't like your face. Do you know? Ask your neighbor. Do you know Christology? Ask your neighbor. Do you know Christology? Do you know soteriology? Well, we are closing. Look, tomorrow we are continuing. How many of you have enjoyed yourself so far today? How many of you have learned a lot of things today? We're continuing. Tomorrow, I'm going to continue and show you what it means to be a Christian master, like somebody who has mastery as a Christian. We have no clue. Hey, BTC. BTC, BTC, BTC. Why? But my prayer for you is that by the time we are closing this conference, you know, Bishop Dag said something. I heard him in a camp many years ago, and for me, that's it's an encouragement. He says that when he comes to a program like this, he comes to take homework to go and do. And today, in this conference, I am giving you homework. How many of you can see already that you have homework? Some of you have to go back and do Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, up to Revelation. You don't know it. Let me not embarrass you. Let me not embarrass you. You must be able to be asleep. When the person asks you, they wake you up and they say, okay, Ezra, continue. Ezra, continue. Without washing your face. And I'm not saying the thing well. What I'm saying is making sense to you? Huh? You're not going to start singing from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. No. Ezra, continue. Daniel, continue. You have to go home. Homework. Don't talk. After the conference, homework. Homework. There are many things you do not know. I will show you many things you do not know. When I say theology, the reason why you cannot stand in front of somebody and defend your Christian faith, you don't know it. You don't know it. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? When somebody meets you and say that Jesus didn't die, they put him on the cross. God changed it. No, it was not him they put on the cross. They put somebody else on the cross. Then God changed his face to look like Jesus. Then they crucified that person. And then they think it's not Jesus. What will you say? Do you have enough? Have you learned enough to be able to say, brother, you don't know. Sit down. Let me teach you. Can you say that? Can you say, come and let me teach you about the Holy Spirit? Is it too high? What I'm preaching is too high. Is it too high? You have been born again for how many years now? You are still, look at where you are. Look at where you are. Anyway, tomorrow we shall continue. Put your hands together for the Lord powerful. Now we are closing, because otherwise my enemies will say that they were right. It's now this thing, 4:33. Listen, I want to take an offering as we are closing. Is it a good idea?